Over the last so many weeks, we've been on a study on the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. How many here have ever read the prophet Jonah? All right, if you haven't, I would encourage you to read it. It's a short book. It's only four chapters long, but it's got a power-packed message for us. And last week, we spoke on you are a winner, not a loser. You are a winner and not a loser. I'm just going to kind of summarize what we talked about last week. And, you know, as a child, you may have been abused verbally. Maybe somebody told you that you were an accident in this world, or an accident going someplace to happen, or that you were dumb or an idiot or just taking up space on this world. And maybe somebody verbally abused you, emotionally abused you as a child. And maybe it was in an adult relationship, maybe in a marriage where somebody physically abused you or emotionally abused you. And so, as a result of that childhood abuse or that adult abuse, you feel small about yourself. Your self-esteem is low. You feel so low that you could do a push-up under a penny, and you don't feel good about yourself. But what we talked about last week was this, is that you are the apple of God's eye. Say it with me today. I am the apple of God's eye. That means, friend, that you are worth so much to God. You are worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined to God, creator of heaven and earth. And then we talked about some of the reasons biblically as to why you are the apple of God's eye. Why is it that you are the apple of God's eye? We talked about this, that each and every single one of us is created in the image of God. That means that part of God is on the inside of you and on the inside of me. Who is the most valuable in this universe? God the Father, God the Son. And if God the Father is the most valuable in the entire universe and we're created in that image, what does that go to say about us? It goes to say that we are highly valuable. Is that making sense? So we're created in the image of God. When somebody touches you with the love of God, they are touching the heart of God Himself. When you touch somebody else with the love of God, guess what? You're touching the heart of God Himself. And the opposite is true. If you hurt somebody else, you're hurting the heart of God. So we should have this mission in life to help other people, to demonstrate God's love towards them. Amen? Amen? So number one, we're created in the image of God. That makes us the apple of God's eye. Number two, we are the apple of God's eye because of the price that was paid for us. What price was paid for you and me to redeem us, to buy us back out of the kingdom of darkness? That's it. The price that was paid for you and for me was the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. See, friend, you and I are of priceless worth because it took the blood of priceless value to redeem us. The value of anything is determined by the price paid for it. Your value is determined by the price that was paid for you. The priceless, infinite blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's just a summary. Today, we're going to talk about how God sees you. How God sees you. And let's turn to Jonah chapter 4. We're still going to continue on a little bit with Jonah here. And remember this, God gave Jonah a mandate to preach repentance to Nineveh in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah disobeyed. A storm arose on the land. He was swallowed by a whale. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and said, go and preach repentance to Nineveh. Now this time in Jonah chapter 3, Jonah decided to obey the word of the Lord. He decided to go to Nineveh. He said, away with my will and in with God's will. And God's will was that that Jonah should preach repentance to Nineveh. And Jonah obeyed in Jonah chapter 3. And as you read Jonah chapter 3, I'd encourage you to read it. It's a short book. Read all four chapters. But as you read Jonah chapter 3, you find out that the entire nation of Nineveh, everybody in that nation, repented of their wickedness. They changed their minds from going the wicked way to going God's holy way. And we see that in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. So, we see that God's compassion and mercy was demonstrated to the nation of Nineveh, right? And then we see in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, that Jonah was greatly displeased and became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Verse 3 of Jonah 4, "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Talking today about how God sees you. How God sees each and every single one of us. Now, we have this nation called Nineveh, right? We have two perspectives on Nineveh. We've got Jonah's perspective on the nation of Nineveh. How did Jonah see the nation of Nineveh? You've got to understand that Nineveh was a brutal empire. Assyria was a brutal empire. Nineveh was the capital. Nineveh, in a sense, was Israel's enemy. So the way Jonah saw Nineveh was as Israel's enemy. Not only that, but Nineveh was a very wicked nation, very wicked place. And you can find it in the book of Nahum. They were involved with sorcery and witchcraft and prostitution and idolatry and that sort of a thing. So Nineveh was a very wicked, unclean, and evil nation. And Jonah, when Jonah looked at Nineveh, he saw enemy. The enemy of Israel. When he looked at Nineveh, what did Jonah see? Jonah saw wickedness and evil. Then we have another perspective on Nineveh. We got Jonah's perspective. He saw no potential in Nineveh. And then we have God's perspective on the nation of Nineveh. How did God see Nineveh? God saw the good potential in Nineveh. See, after they repented in Jonah chapter 3, God saw them as a new nation with a new beginning. He saw them as a forgiven nation, as kind of a brand new nation. He saw them as no longer wicked and evil. He saw Nineveh, God saw Nineveh as being able to have a brand new start. The important thing is this, is that God, all in all, saw Nineveh as forgiven of their evil and wickedness. See, God no longer saw Nineveh according to their old ways of unrighteousness and unholiness. See, God saw them with a godly perspective. That this nation has potential. Amen? Amen. So we have a nation of Nineveh. We see Jonah's perspective and we see God's perspective. And whose perspective is so much greater in the scenario? It's God's perspective. Because God sees potential in every single one of us. Amen? Amen? How does it apply to us? Is it possible that maybe you're in the place you're in today, not able to go forward because you're living in the past? Is it possible that you're seeing your life as Jonah saw the nation of Nineveh? You know, think about this. And I've used this illustration before. Say you're trying to drive an automobile, a car. And you're trying to drive forward successfully. Well, if you're trying to drive that car forward, but you keep looking behind you, like this, you're never going to get ahead, right? Why is that? You may drive into a tree. You might drive into someone. If you want to get ahead in an automobile, in a car, what do you have to do? You've got to keep looking forward and not behind you. Because if you keep looking behind you, you will never get ahead. Friends, it's the same way in our lives. Your life is like that automobile. If you're trying to go ahead in life, if you're trying to climb the mountaintop, if you're trying to get over the hurdle in your life, but you keep looking at your negative past, guess what? You're never going to be able to go forward. You may always be stuck in this place. How many want to be stuck in this place the rest of their lives? Say no. Say it with me. No. I want to go forward with a better thing that God has for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this. God sees you as he saw the nation of Nineveh. He sees you with potential. He sees you as a brand new creation by faith in Jesus Christ. It's interesting. I was studying cactuses a little bit today. You know, a cactus is not the prettiest of plants, right? It's got pricklies on it, right? But did you know that that cactus will bloom flowers at certain times of the year? There's so many different types of cactuses. But a cactus will bloom beautiful flowers at different times of the year. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, you may see yourself as a cactus. You see what I'm saying? But what does God see? God sees the flower in you, the potential. Butterflies. You may see yourself as a caterpillar today. Fuzzy, crawling along in life, you know, just unattractive, whatever you might want to call it, but you see yourself as a caterpillar. But what does God see when He looks at you? He doesn't see the caterpillar. God sees that beautiful butterfly. He sees you as having potential. Amen? Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, God instituted a system of animal sacrifices. And it says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, that without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. So God instituted this system of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, where the priest, once a year, or at certain times of the year, would sacrifice an animal, its blood would be shed for the forgiveness or the atonement of people's sin. What does it mean to atone for sin in the Old Testament? See, when an animal's blood was shed, it atoned for the sins of the people. To atone means to cover over. So when that lamb was slain, when that goat was slain, it just covered over the sins of the people for a certain length of time. And so the next year, the following year, the priest would have to sacrifice animals again for the covering of the sins. So it was a system that had to be repeated over and over and over because it was an imperfect system. Animals are imperfect creatures. Would you agree? But in the New Testament, there's good news. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb, who shed His blood once and for all people of all ages. You see, the blood of Jesus did not just cover over sin like the blood of animals. Say it again. The blood of Jesus did not just cover over sin. The blood of Jesus completely erased our sins. So that when God looks at you, when God looks at me, He doesn't see our sinful past. He sees those sins as erased, forgiven, and forgotten. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense? Let's talk about the miraculous blood of Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, all the sins you committed up to the point of accepting Christ or recommitting your life to Christ were forgiven and forgotten by God. So when you said, Jesus Christ, I give my life to You. Jesus, I've been in control of my own life, but at this point, Jesus, I give my life to You. At the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, at that point, all of your sins of the past, all of your sins up until that point, were forgiven and forgotten by God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus erases sin. Amen? Amen. Say it with me today. The blood of Jesus, that perfect blood, erases sin in Jesus' name. Or maybe you followed Christ and maybe you got upset with God, you got upset with someone and you slipped back into your sinful lifestyle. Well, at the point that you recommit your life to Jesus Christ, all your sins up until that point are forgiven and forgotten by God. Amen? Amen. And you know, we're imperfect beings, friends. We're just imperfect. We're human beings. And after we accept Christ, we are going to mess up. The flesh is going to try to pop its ugly head. But when you get weak and the flesh wants to rule in your life, call on the name of Jesus and God will give you His divine empowerment to overcome the pull of the flesh, the sinful nature. Is that making sense? What does Paul the Apostle write in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. He says, it's a famous scripture, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Son, your old is gone. Your old lifestyle is gone. God doesn't see you according to the past anymore. You are a brand new creation. You are a brand new slate. So that when God looks at you, He sees Jesus, the perfect one. Say it with me today. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus, the spotless lamb. Amen. Think about it this way. I've used this illustration before. It bears repeating. How many here have ever been to an Easter play at some church? Somewhere maybe. Well, you know, you got everything. You got the land of Israel. You got all the actors and actresses up on stage. And at one point, let's say that Clint here is playing the part of Jesus, right? Let's say they gave him the part of Jesus in the Easter play. And so at the point that Jesus appears on stage, here comes Clint walking forward, making his appearance. When you look at Clint coming out on the stage in the play, you're not thinking about Clint, right? You're not seeing Clint. Who are you seeing? Who are you thinking about? You're thinking about Jesus. So when you see him walk out on stage, you see Jesus. Well, friends, when God looks at you, by the blood of Christ, He sees Jesus. He doesn't see your past. Amen? Amen. Romans 5:1. Another awesome scripture. Romans 5:1. Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we have been justified through faith. By faith in Christ, when you said, Jesus be my Savior, Jesus, I place my life into your hands, Jesus be my Lord, at that point, you became justified. You were clothed with a clothing of righteousness. When you said, Jesus, I give my life into your hands, you were clothed with a robe of righteousness. Amen? Amen. Justified. When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Say it with me today. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. See, the word justified is the same thing as being made righteous by faith in Christ. You're justified. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus, the perfect and spotless one. And maybe, friends, maybe you stole in the past. Maybe you're wanting a job in a retail store. And maybe the voice of the past whispers to you. You can't get a job there at Target, at Walmart, at so-and-so, because you stole there in the past. That's the past trying to pop its ugly head. And when that voice tries to speak to you, speak back to it in the name of Jesus. Say, you know what? The Word of God says, I am justified just as if I had never stolen in the past. I am going forward in this area in my life. I'm going to get that job because I am going to be a diligent person, a diligent employee. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you want a relationship with the opposite sex. Some lady out there that you want to get to know. And maybe the voice of the past tries to speak to you. But remember how you abused that other lady in the past and took advantage of her, or ladies in the past. When that voice tries to speak to you, what do? Speak right back to it according to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Just speak to that voice and say, you know what? I have been justified just as if I had never abused or taken advantage of that lady or ladies in the past. I am going forward in this area of my life. I'm not going to be ruled and imprisoned and paralyzed by the past. I'm going to start seeing myself as God sees me. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news? You know, maybe God is telling you to do something in your life, whatever that might be. I don't know what it is today. And maybe that voice of the past, maybe the voice of the enemy tries to speak to you and say, you know what? God can't use you today. Remember in the past when you disobeyed what God told you to do? To get involved with that church? To get involved with that ministry? To go to that Bible school? And when that voice tries to speak to you, the voice of the past, you speak right back to it according to the Bible. And you tell it, you know what? By faith in Christ, I was justified. Just as if I had not disobeyed God in the past. I am going forward in this area of my life. God has got something great in store for me as far as ministry is concerned. Amen? Don't let your past rule and dominate you. Maybe you're wanting to go forward as far as health is concerned, but the voice of the past tries to whisper to you. Remember what you did in the past. God spoke to you about improving your diet and you never did it. And when that voice of the past tries to speak to you, what do? You speak right back to it. Just as if I have been justified. Just as if I had not disobeyed God concerning my health. I am going forward in this area. Friends, we serve the God of another chance. You may have disobeyed God in the past, but God gave Jonah another chance in Jonah chapter 3. If he gave Jonah another chance in Jonah chapter 3, and Jonah is a man just like you and me, guess what? He is the same God, and he is going to give us another chance to obey him. Amen? Amen. All right. God sees you as a brand new slate. And God is a good God. He's good all the time, and all the time, God is good. I received this in the mail from a church here in town, and pastor who is writing says this, Terry Henshaw, he's the director of Victory World Missions. And he said, I heard a story about a man who worked in a circus and had trained elephants all his life. When he was being interviewed, the reporter had noticed that a very large elephant was being held in place by a very small piece of string and a very small tent stake. When the reporter asked, why doesn't the elephant just break the string and move? Why doesn't the elephant just break the string and move to wherever he wants to go? The elephant trainer responded and said, the elephant could very easily break the string with one pull, but he does not know he can do it. You see, when he was young, I used this very string to hold him in place. He was so young, he could not break it. His mind has been trained that he cannot break the string. He is convinced that he cannot do it, so he does not even try. Isn't that amazing? This elephant conditioned to thinking he could not break this string. And elephants are powerful, right? This is where so many Christians are today. They limit themselves to their past mistakes or the lack of education, money, or resources. They stay tied up or stuck to whatever is holding them back from living the most amazing life God has for each and every person. Friend, do not be held back by that string that's trying to paralyze you, imprison you, trying to hold you back and stuck where you've always been. Not only can you break that string, friends, with Christ, you can break any chain that is in your life right now. Amen? Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, this elephant was conditioned, paralyzed by his past. Would you agree? As a little elephant, he was told, he was conditioned, he was trained to thinking he could never break that string. So he stayed in that same place his whole life, stuck in his past. Friends, we don't want to be stuck in our past because God doesn't see us according to our past. How does God see us? In Christ Jesus, by faith in Christ, he sees us as a brand new creation. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. If you see yourself according to your past, you will be full of regret. I would have, I could have, I should have. Thinking about the same regrets over and over and over again. I would have, I could have, I should have. And that's the devil's way. That's the voice of the past trying to keep you in the same place. When God is saying, I want you to go forward, regret is telling you, the past is telling you, I want you to stay right where you are at. Because guess what? If you go forward, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy doesn't like the fact that you are a threat to his kingdom. So he wants to keep you right where you're at. But God is saying, child, I've got something greater for you. I've got a destiny, a plan, a purpose, a future. Don't see yourself according to your messed up past. See yourself as I see you, says the Lord God Almighty, as a person with great potential and a wonderful destiny. Every time you wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, speak these words to yourself over and over again. I am justified, just as if I had never sinned. I see myself as God sees me, with a bright future and not according to my past. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me today. I see myself according to the bright future God has for me and not according to my past. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Speak those words over your life every day. Is that good news?
Yes.